Blog Talk Radio.
Time for another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
That's right, it's me, the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League, and your host, Rick Goreski, coming to you live Sunday night, July 24th, 2016. We are doing the Mad Dog Dynasty League recap, the draft, the rookie draft. We're recapping rounds 3, 4, and 5. That is, if we can. But before that can happen, as I've been saying, we need to add the we to me. So allow me to introduce my co-hosts for today's show. First up, you've heard him. He's helped us out before, especially the last two recap shows. The owner of the Malicious Minds, Mr. Tom Buckles. Bucko.
What up?
Thanks for coming on the show, man.
You got it, my friend.
In addition to Tom, we have another very special guest. This guy often imitated, never duplicated. I'm talking about the owner of the Stone Form Pallies, Mr. Steve Wellman. Wellman.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. We
you
get
betcha.
The band back together.
Let's do a tour.
Fantastic. Well, guys, let's go ahead and rock. Our goal today, we're going to walk through rounds 3, 4, and 5 if time allows us. If not, just to let the listeners know, we already have a contingency plan. We had some discussion amongst us and, you know, whether we should do a separate round 3 episode all by itself. We're going to go ahead and plug along and try to see if we can get rounds 3, 4, and 5 out. If we can't, we're going to go back. We'll do another one. This was going to be a three-part series recapping the rookie draft. We'll do a fourth episode, and in that fourth episode, we can always go back in time. And something I've always wanted to do is go back to the 2012 draft and 13 and 14 and 15. And let's recap all the drafts going back in time and see, now that we've had 2, 3, 4 years. Let's see who won the draft. So let's get to this round three. That's what we're going to talk about right now. The distribution between offense and defense in round three was slanted towards offense. Let me step back a second. Again, we're talking about rounds 3, 4, and 5. So generically speaking, the distribution of talent between offense and defense for the final three rounds combined, okay, 20 players on offense, 15 players on defense, 1 special teams, which was a kicker. So it did slant offense. There were, in the last three rounds, there were 2 quarterbacks taken, 10 running backs, 5 wide receivers, which a little bit low compared to normal, 3 tight ends, 1 place kicker, 2 defensive linemen, 8 linebackers, and 5 DBs. Let me walk through this round by round here. Third round was heavy on offense with 9 offensive players going compared to 3 on defense. So things really went heavy on offense in the third round. We also talked about a lot of trades being made during this draft, specifically mid-round trades for picks and better positioning. Out of the 12 trades that were made, 7 involved picks from the third round. So, guys, what I'm going to do is read off who went where, and then we can go back through and talk about him if that's cool with you. So first pick of the third round, wide receiver Malcolm Mitchell, New England, went to the Stone Form Pallies. Second pick of the third round, C.J. Procise, Seattle, went to Crazy 7. Third pick of the third round, Keith Marshall, running back Washington, went to Crazy. Fourth pick of the third round, Shaq Lawson, linebacker Buffalo. Didn't know, you know, until after he was drafted, if he would slant defensive lineman or linebacker. He is classified as a linebacker. Shaq Lawson, Buffalo, to you're in trouble. The fifth pick of the third round, wide receiver Leonte Carew from Miami, went to Show Me Your TDs. halfway through the third round. Sixth pick, running back Jonathan Williams of Buffalo went to Crazy Seven. Seventh pick of the third round, quarterback Carson Wentz of the Philadelphia Eagles went to You're in Trouble. Eighth pick of the third round, defensive back Miles Killebrew from Detroit went to Dream Team. Ninth pick of the third round, linebacker Devondre Campbell, Atlanta, went to Stone Form Pallies. 10th pick of the third round, running back Tyler Irvin of Houston went to You're in Trouble. 11th pick, wide receiver Farrell Cooper of Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Rams, hard to get used to saying that, went to Downhill from Here. And the last pick of the third round, running back Josh Ferguson of Indianapolis went to Stone Form, the Stone Form Pallies. Guys, let's kick it back to you. Steve, you took Malcolm Mitchell with the first pick of the third round. Can you tell us what you liked about him? What was it, and who else was in consideration?
He was the next pick I was going to take, and I actually kind of surprised you didn't take him, and you took Hunter Henry. I knew he wasn't going to last very long. He's got all the physical tools to be a great wide receiver in the NFL. He's going to a organization that isn't very deep. I mean, you have Amendola and I can't think of his name now. So I'm thinking this is probably the best guy. This, to me, he was the best talent on the board.
I did have Malcolm Mitchell as one of the players I was looking at. For the listeners that haven't listened or aren't part of the league, I had the 12th pick in the second round right before this. I took Hunter Henry. Malcolm Mitchell was on my short list of guys, and I decided to go Henry. I just felt was the better pick. Mitchell's a great – he's kind of been said as an Edelman clone almost, all the way down to the injury history. So, Tom, what do you think about Malcolm Mitchell?
He's a guy I was eyeing up myself and saw him going, early in this round. I didn't have a pick in the third round, so I didn't feel like I needed to, at that point to make some sort of move or whatever, last to try and get back into the round to make a pick or anything. But, he's
hey,
one
Trader
guy.
Hey, Trader Jack, I don't think you have a pick left till 2018. Go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, but I it was a guy I was eyeing up as well. And another guy that I, that Stone Form hit on again, so.
Yeah, I did definitely think it helps your team, and I don't think he would have lasted much longer. Mostly because I had the next two picks, and those two picks,
exactly.
The second and third, running back C.J. Procise, Seattle, and running back Keith Marshall of Washington, just tackle both of these together because they were mine. At this point in the draft, I felt, again, because of the extraordinary run of defensive players that went in the second round at 1.7 out of 9 picks between the second pick in the second round and the 10th pick, 7 out of 9 were defensive players. And at this point, I felt the best players available kind of tilted to running back because nobody after the first – I want to say the first two possible. I think at that point only two. Let me, we're here live, so why don't I just take a look. Second round, we know we had Dixon in the first round, and
Henry went.
Oh, Ezekiel Elliott. So actually four running backs up to this point, up to this pick in the second round, which was 26th overall, the second pick of the third round, there had only been four running backs that were gone. And I just felt like the best player available slanted to running back at that point. It was time to jump in and start taking some of these running backs. Also, and I don't mean to talk too long because I'd rather have you guys talk, I had stumbled into a Dynasty League strategy on a podcast earlier this year that I was kind of fascinated by. You always hear these different strategies, pick this, take wide receivers early in PPR, stuff like that. But what this one kind of struck me and made sense to me, and what they said was, yes, go for in PPR leagues and Dynasty leagues, take those wide receivers early. Then when you hit about the third round, start taking running backs. Start taking mid-round running backs and treat them like lottery tickets. Because if you hit, you'll know in a couple, a year or two, you'll know if you hit. And if you hit, it's like winning the lottery. And if not, let it go and move on. So I did a little bit of that, as well as feeling like the best player available did slant to running back. C.J. Procise, converted wide receiver from Notre Dame, lots of talent. I think the opportunity is there. Rawls is injured. He's potentially going to be fine. It's his job to lose, but the fact is he's healing a little slower than people thought, from what I understand, and I think there will be an opening for him at the very least to contribute on a third down basis and potentially to let his talent win out. And Keith Marshall, my third pick, 27 overall, was a guy I'm just enamored with. He was Todd Gurley's backup in college. He has had some injury issues, but he runs a 4.3, and the guy is just fantastic, and he's a good character guy too. So I probably should not, and I guess I'm saying this almost knowing that I shouldn't have taken him there. I just couldn't let it go. He was the one guy in the draft that I felt like if I lose this guy, if I play games and let him fall and somebody takes him, I'm going to feel like crap. So, yeah, I think I took him too early here, but I really liked him, and I love that speed. As I wrote in my comments, I'm a sucker for speed. So, Steve, what do you think of those two picks?
Well, I think they're good picks. Like you said, they're lottery tickets. And again, I don't think you're worried of having to you have a pretty good roster as it is, so you can afford to take some chances on some guys. And like you said, not only are the lottery tickets just to getting their chance to be running back, but because the league is going to passing more, I see Keith Marshall being right in line with a prototypical back that comes out of the backfield and catches the ball. I thought those were good picks.
Tom, what were your thoughts on Procise and Marshall?
I think there was a short sample size with Procise, even though he did have a very good year with being converted for only 1 year as a running back out of being a receiver. He did have the luxury of being running behind the number two overall ranked college offense line in the country last year. So I see his numbers a little skewed, but he's learning and realistically learning on the job that new position. So my only concern with him is pass protection, and that's always the big problem with any running back coming into the NFL, making that leap, is a guy who's going to be able to hunker down and take that next step and be able to maybe be a three-down type of back with Rawls being hurt. You also have Alex Collins, who didn't get even any real look from anybody. Kid who played at SEC, put up big numbers down there, I believe, in Arkansas. So he's a guy that's there that's more of the, I'd say, Marshawn Lynch type of guy. And I do believe you'll see Procise more of a split wide out and third down type of running back. And as far as Marshall, all the stars are lined up for him to basically, be able to take that job and run with it, because he's got fumble-itis Matt Jones in front of him, and Chris Thompson hasn't been able to really stay healthy. So he's another guy I see with a pretty good shot at moving right into a starting role, if not this year, by next year.
And I just wanted to kind of expand on it. I mean, what I was trying to get at is, both these guys are in a situation where, like, similar to Cincinnati, where you have Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard. So I don't think you're actually taking as much a risk as some people might think, because I think both of them are at least going to get third down reps this year. And maybe they'll develop into something bigger.
Another question on top of this to you guys, though, is I had commented that my gut, and we're all doing this. We're in the draft. We're watching it. We're feeling where the talent is, right? I felt like the dynamics shifted and running back became the value at this point in time. Wide receivers were picked over. Yes, Carew was still there. He's got a lot of – we'll talk about him later, a lot of guys in front of him in Miami. But wide receiver was kind of picked over. The defensive run had happened. Tight end, the best guy was gone. I felt like it – do you feel also, am I wrong, that it kind of at this point in time it shifted to running back? Booker had gone a couple picks ahead of that.
As soon as it happened, you'll see that, after you made your picks that the following round, I think it was fourth round, is where all these running backs started going again. Now, you set the tone in round three, and I believe myself in round four, I started a little run then too with running backs. And then after I made my pick, I believe there was two to three guys that went right after my guy. So it's right around that area where I figured the running back run would go. I just, like I said, being the trade master or whatever you want to call it, I have no way of getting back really in there unless I wanted to give up a component that I'm going to need to help me, you know, solidify my division.
And at this time, I think that the running back rookie pool was the largest to pick from, more importantly. I mean, those are just two guys, but you look at guys that hadn't been picked, especially the next guy, your next pick, Crazy, that was a guy that could go. The kid from Chicago could go. The kid from New York could go. And Tom's pick, you know, and then there's the guy that's in Oakland, DeAndre Washington. You know, so that pool was huge. And you had to think that at this point, everybody's looking at that and saying, okay, this is the deepest pond to pick your fish from right now. So I think that was a good move to go in and get those guys. Now, what I don't know, but I think you went the right direction.
Well, I think running back usually runs a little hotter in the first to second rounds, so that's where some of my feelings, like feeling like the running back shifted. Other players that I was contemplating at this point, linebacker Campbell from Atlanta, and also the running back from Chicago was also in the mix, and Jonathan Williams from Buffalo was also in the mix at this point. But we'll talk about him a little later. Right now, why don't we move to the pick fourth overall in the third round, linebacker Shaq Lawson of Buffalo. I was a little surprised by this pick. You're in Trouble made this pick. They didn't have any qualms about it. I wrote it because he was picking through me. He was having me make his actual selection. And when he first wrote me, he said defensive lineman Shaq Lawson, because when Lawson was drafted, he was considered a defensive lineman, but then went to a 3-4. Now he's considered a linebacker. He's classified that way. And I wrote Urine back, and I said, "Are you, just so you know, he's a linebacker. Do you still want to take him?" And he said, "Absolutely." So he's sold on Shaq Lawson. Despite the current injuries and the classification as a linebacker, he went with Lawson. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Stacey.
Well, he's kind of like Smith out of Jalen Smith out of Dallas, where, you know, you're not going to see anything out of this year. He's coming off the injury. He's definitely got the physical tools to make it in the NFL. You're hoping that he can. He's a tool, but no, he can do it. Now, again, my philosophy is unless I see somebody that just knocks my socks off on the outside as a linebacker, I tend to shy away from him. But you know, he could be pretty good out there. He could be like Clay Matthews or Justin Houston, or whoever they plug in Baltimore for whatever reason. Those outside linebackers do well. So, is it a bad pick? No. I wouldn't have taken him. I would have probably selected a different player, but if that's what he wants and that's what he needs, that's what he gets.
Tom?
I looked at it as possibly a reach or somebody he could have probably got later, or a possibility of a guy who wasn't even going to get drafted. So somebody that he could have just bid to get. So I would have much rather see him go with probably one of the running back runs at that point, because I did look at his roster. I saw what he could use, and I seen that as an area on his team that he should have been doing what you were doing and taking some swings for defenses, taking that lottery ticket and, you know, seeing if he can punch one, you know. And this is reminiscent of the other defensive line picks that were done early rounds, and I think he could have probably got away with not even having this guy being drafted. I just didn't hear any news, and plus with the injury issues and reclassification and everything, I easily could have saw him pick him up for nothing.
The injury piece is what surprised me, because unless you guys know more than I know, I think last I heard it was a little bit iffy if he's going to even play. If he plays, he might even miss, you know, first month of the season or more. So, but you know, that was, that's Shaq Lawson.
Yeah, I'm hearing the same. Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing. I'm hearing a lot of possibly half the season, if not maybe the season. So,
well, it's
supposed
to be a fifth pick.
But my question is, my question is, is it any worse of a pick or a pick and stash than Jalen Smith?
Is it any worse than what?
Than taking a chance on him like Ipswich did with Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith not a player this year, and just Shaq Lawson.
Well,
play
I think
this
it's
year.
Totally. It's the, but I'll take this one. Jalen Smith is a middle linebacker who is on a team whose middle linebacker is about ready to go out to pasture, and Sean Lee.
Exactly.
Is a tackling machine. He's compared to Luke Kuechly. He's a generational type talent, the kind of guy you shoot for in this type of league. Shaq Lawson is an outside linebacker, which if he was classified as a defensive lineman would be worth, you know, probably this level of pick if he was healthy and a defensive lineman, even go up to the second round. But he's injured and he's classified as an outside linebacker.
Yep.
I think he's worth the pick and stash though. That's just me. You pick him, you put him on your roster. He goes out. He sits out the year, and maybe he makes an impact next year.
Can you get in there, Tom?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, let's move to the fifth pick in the third round. Show me your TDs. Picked wide receiver Leonte Carew of Miami. I think Carew's a fantastic wide receiver. I think his situation is as crappy as it can get outside of Cleveland or Tennessee, maybe. I guess Tennessee's a lot better than it used to be, so I can't rip them as hard as I used to. But what do you guys make of this pick? He was one of the best wide receivers available. But I thought at this point, talking again about where the talent was halfway through the draft, I thought there were other areas that could have been plucked. Steve, start us off.
I keep starting. Okay, well, yes. Now, this is where I think that he probably should have went in and got one of the running backs. I looked at his roster, and he's not very deep on the running back position. Now, I know you don't technically have to start a running back, but he's got enough talent on his roster to play out the year with four veteran starters. So this should have been a good spot for him to get into the running back lottery.
He started running back, and we criticized him lightly for that in the first two picks. But to our point, had he taken a Sterling Shepard with his first pick, and now here he is in the third round, and you got a Jonathan Williams sitting there amongst other players, Josh Ferguson. You know, that
Jordan Howard
would have done well to his team also. Tom, what do you think?
Well, I just wanted to say it goes to my drafting theory. I drafted, five or six wide receivers. Some of them are going to hit. You know, if he was going to go down that road of picking all these running backs, and clearly, in my opinion, some of the running backs left are better picked than Carew, he should have just kept going with it.
Yeah, I'm on with him on Steve's side as well. And this one, as far as, I mean, his wide receiving core is pretty stacked. He's pretty good at defense. You're weak at running back, you might as well just keep punching tickets until, you know, one of them guys hits. And I mean, you took Henry and you took Dixon. You know, they're big bruising type backs. I would have been trying to hit some of the guys like the Oakland running back, Washington. Maybe look at, like you said, the Williams kid. And there is other options available for him there. And I would have just, if you're going running back, just keep plugging away. Fill out almost all your spots with the running back. If you're going to go in the pool full all the way.
So moving on to the sixth pick of the third round, that was my team. Jonathan Williams, running back Buffalo, was the pick. I can tell you that it came down to, at the end of this, initially was considering Devondre Campbell, was looking at Josh Ferguson, Jordan Howard of Chicago. Those were all guys that were in the picture here with Jonathan Williams. I had just picked a couple picks prior, so all the same players I was considering before were still sitting there for the most part. And it came down to Jonathan Williams or Jordan Howard. And Jordan Howard is more of a bruising two-down runner, goal line back. I was concerned about him maybe being taken off the field. If I was going to take a lottery pick on a player, I wanted to be a player that could be a three-down back. And that's what, you know, along with the fact that McCoy isn't going to be in Buffalo more than a year or two, in my opinion, I thought this was kind of a sneaky pick to go at this guy. I think Buffalo must have thought very highly of him to take him as early as they did in the draft, knowing that the guy was injured last year. They spent a pretty high pick on a guy that didn't play. So what do you think, Steve?
I think it's a good, safe pick. You know, it's tough to choose, and I thank you for not taking Josh Ferguson. But, yeah, I mean, it's a good pick, and like I was saying, the running back pool was still deep, and you had a lot of options to go to, so just keep throwing your line in there and waiting for one of them to bite.
Yeah, I didn't say that, but I felt that the running backs, again, because I had taken two and then still nobody touched them, and I'm like, well, screw it. There's potential. There's guys still sitting here that can end up starting, like Howard in Chicago. Ferguson could get meaningful playing time. You know, I'm going to take these guys over everything else that's kind of sitting there. Tom, what do you think of the Jonathan Williams pick?
I think I'm the first guy who sent you an email when I heard something was going on with a possibility of a suspension going on, but who knows what's going to happen there. I think that's going to be in effect for next season, so you won't see any of that penalty this year. Hopefully he can get over that little stumbling block with the alcohol or whatever, the DUI. But as you said before, I don't see any of the guys. You know, I think the other guys that are in front of them are pretty long in the tooth there. They've been there for a long enough time that I think it's the perfect situation, the scenario for him, and Rex likes to run that ball. So I think it's the ideal situation from there.
Seventh pick overall in the third round went to, you're in trouble. He picked quarterback Carson Wentz of Philadelphia. I think it was a good pick for him at this point. He has Tom Brady and, gosh, is it Romo?
Collarbone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got Romo.
Yeah, he's got Collarbone.
Yeah, he does. No, you're right. Tom Brady, Tony Romo, and Brandon Whedon were his quarterbacks prior to this pick. He did need some young blood at quarterback, and he got it here with Wentz from Philadelphia. Might take a couple years, but I think he's got a couple years left with Romo and Brady at least. Steve, you're going to
agree.
Go ahead and start every time.
Yeah, well, in one word, agree. I mean, what you summed it up pretty well.
Tom?
Yeah, I agree. I agree as well. I think he needed a little influx of some bit of younger talent there. In fact, I even threw him Andy Dalton a trade offer for that pick and never heard anything. So I knew he had collarbone and a guy who was kind of aging, but he's still an elite top-tier quarterback who, you know, unless there's an appeal, it's going to be out for first four games. So, yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, next pick, eighth overall in the third round. Dream Team took a safety defensive back, Miles Killebrew of Detroit. Can't remember who I was joking around with. Might have been you, Steve, where we said this might be the first meaningful safety since Benny Blades. they haven't had a lot cooking in Detroit as far as safety.
Tom could go play for the Detroit Lions and have a meaningful shot at being a safety.
But this is a good pick. Killebrew is going to get some time. He's going to be potentially the starter before the season's over. As long as his talent holds up, he could be a multi-year starter for him. I think it was a good pick, and it is reacting to where the talent, now that some running backs got sucked off the board. Dirtiest thing I ever said on this podcast, as I just realize that.
Well, we can't
Killebrew
keep it clean.
Killebrew, I did make this a PG-13 episode after the last few, so Killebrew was a good pick. What say you,
the
Mr.
only criticism,
Wellman?
The only criticism I have of this is what we're going to talk about next, but it's a good pick. It's okay.
Okay.
I thought it was one of the guys I was eyeing up. I know he came from a smaller school, different player talent in against him, but like you said, I think he's got a clear shot to becoming the starter there. He's a hammering hitter, and I just think he's a very smart player as well, so I see this as a great pick, and there's another team that I said that just got richer again, and he's got enough offense. I think he's just gearing that defense to be just unbeatable, you know.
You tip your hat to Dream Team. He's one of those guys that every year has a good draft. You know,
yep.
Mid to late round picks are always solid. They don't always pan out, but at the time, they're good picks. You know, you never know who's going to pan out. Leading into our next pick, the 9th overall in the 3rd round went to the Stone Forum Pallies. Devondre Campbell, linebacker, Atlanta. This was a guy that I liked a lot, and I thought it was a great pick. And why don't we let the guy who took him just tell us about it? Go right ahead, Steve.
Well, this is not an exaggeration. I made the pick of Malcolm Mitchell in the 3rd round, and 24 hours later when I logged in, it was my turn. And I honestly, when I saw his name on availability, I had to look and say, this has to be a mistake. I must have refreshed the site 5 times and said, no way in those 8 picks in between could this guy still be there. And if the only criticism I have about Miles Killerew is that he probably should have taken Campbell instead.
I like Campbell a lot. I felt like it was, my attraction to him was situational. That's what kept leading me to pass him over. I can't speak for Dream, but I thought it was a great pick on your part, and I think he will start before the season's over. Tom, what do you think about Devondre Campbell?
As another one of those picks that I took my hat to the Stone Forum Pallies this year. Like I said, that's why I gave him such a high, you know, overall draft rating for overall this year. I gave him a high A on his overall draft from this year, and getting this guy where he got him was just unbelievable.
Yep, that is one of the players that I felt, you know, as I looked at some of the other picks going off the board, I was like, well, how does this guy not fit in? But great pick. I guess we all agree on this one. 10th pick of the 3rd round, Tyler Irvin, by the way. We're not getting to the 4th and 5th round. I despise telling Steve that he's right, but Steve, you were right saying it publicly. We needed a full show just for the 3rd round, and who knows, we might end up taking a full show at the 4th with all the trades and the activity that were going on in that round. I've never seen a 4th mm-hmm. and 5th round as active as this year's.
Like I said in the previous show, I think this is when people started realizing that there's still a lot of good people to take a chance on, and people really started trying to trade back in and grab some of these guys.
Yeah, we have about 11 minutes-ish left. 3 picks left to profile, and then we can chat a little. The 10th pick of the 3rd round went to You're in Trouble. Tyler Irvin, running back Houston, was the selection. And I thought this was this was the worst pick in the round to me, because they just signed Lamar Miller. I don't see this guy cracking the lineup for 3 to 5 years. Maybe he could get some entry time, but they still, to my knowledge, have Alfred Blue, who's battle-tested. They had Chris Polk. I don't know if they got rid of him already. But I just don't see why you take this player. This player is worthy of being drafted later, maybe a 5th-round pick, end of the 5th-round kind of thing. I just don't
see it. If drafted at all.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, yeah, he's got some talent and everything, but he's small, and the situation, that just like with the wide receiver, Carew, I don't see this guy getting on the field, and he can't do anything for your team if he doesn't get on the field,
With so many better options, I mean, you know, there's Ferguson's still out there, Howard's still out there, Washington's out there. Even Paul Perkins and Smallwood, are better options. But
Smallwood.
uh-huh. That's probably
why.
It's kind of like they're just the owner.
The owner of the red Ford. Your lights are on. Hey, back on Tyler Irvin, though. I just, if you want to kind of finish off your thoughts, Steve, Tyler Irvin, I personally thought it was the worst pick in the third round.
No, yeah, it's not. I mean, you know, you don't ever want to say anything negative about an owner. Maybe there's something about him he likes, you know, or maybe he just didn't realize. Well, I don't know how I can realize. I don't know how that pick happened. There's just other better options out there for sure.
But was this pick something that he had to go through you to make the pick for him?
Yep. I told him he was on the clock. I told him everything that was updated on what was gone, and this is who he selected.
Okay. He didn't give
it in front of him.
He gave you no kind of – he just said, this is my guy, and picked it.
Give me this. I think we went back and forth. Is this guy there? No. Is this guy there? No. Take this.
But I guess then in my eyes, if he heard the backs that were going off the board, I don't know, maybe this was one of those itch moves, you know, like, I better make a move here and get one of these guys.
But how do you pick that guy? How do you choose that guy?
I think he was hanging with sex. He was in the middle of sex. He had to make a pick. He was on the clock in both ways, and, you know, who knows? Maybe he was trying to type something else and spell check changed it. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. So I think we all agree we didn't really like this pick with Tyler Irvin. The 11th pick overall in the third round was Farrell Cooper. The wide receiver from the Los Angeles Rams goes to Bill downhill from here, taking another wide receiver. He did pick up the Cleveland kid, Coleman, in the first round. And Bill in the second round took Devontae Booker. So Bill's obviously trying to build some offense here for his team, and he needed it. What do you guys think of Cooper? I find it interesting that I think there were some better names there. I'm not saying the pick won't work or that he's not talented. I think a Howard would have been a great pick here or a Ferguson, but he went with Cooper.
During this point in time in the draft, me and Bill were actually chatting on the board, and I was possibly catching this pick with a first-round pick for next year for Lamar Miller because of him talking up how he needed offensive talent.
So it would have been Lamar Miller, and then you would have gotten the first-rounder next year plus this pick.
Right. And, okay. You know, the only guy that I was looking at that point was Stone Forms guy, really. So, and then he probably would have hated me. But, I don't know, I think I may have put something else in the trade offer or whatever, and he didn't want to take it, and then at that point he already put in for Farrell Cooper, so.
Well, the thing about Cooper is he's got Goff throwing him the ball. It's going to take Goff a couple years. I think Goff will be good. But it'll take him a couple years.
The only problem I see with this is that him and Tavon Austin are very similar. So body styles and everything, I don't know, too many of the same guy on the same team, I think.
Well, and in my evaluation, I don't think he's the best rookie wide receiver.
Right.
I was lucky enough. Yeah. Or even on that team.
Right.
I was lucky enough to get Mike Thomas in the fifth round, and I think that he has better potential.
Oh, great. You just spoiled
potential.
An entire podcast, man. Why should I even listen? Seriously. Why even listen
to
the fifth round podcast
now?
That's the first pick. It's the lead pick, Steve. What am I going to lead with now for the fifth round? Honestly,
your charm and sense of humor.
Go ahead.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so not only is he not I don't think he's the best option for an offensive weapon, I just didn't even think he was the best option for a wide receiver on the Rams.
In my opinion, he had the coolest name of the third round, Pharaoh. That's just awesome.
That's about all.
Maybe someday I can draft a guy named Pharaoh.
Yeah, that's about
it. Change my last name to Ramsey then or something. Pharaoh Ramsey. Yeah.
Yeah,
or else
Steve,
he could be,
now you're going.
He could have been
Pharaoh. To blow the fourth round now. Go ahead.
Could have been Pharaoh Small. He could have been Pharaoh Smallwood, and that would have been awesome.
No sons in that lineage, huh? Let's move to the last
right.
pick. We got about just over 4 minutes to go. 12th pick in the third round went to the Stoneform Pallies as they reap the rewards of trades that they made, picking up running back Josh Ferguson of Indianapolis, who, as the offseason went on, became a hotter and hotter prospect. Frank Gore, who I do think is going to have a great season. I do. I don't know that Ferguson's value is going to come this season. It certainly can. He's, aside from, I think, Robert Turbin, realistically the next guy up if anything happens to Gore. And down the line, a year down the line, he's certainly in line if he can hold up, not get injured, and stay, you know, keep his talent moving in the right direction, his career, I guess, moving in the right direction. I think he could take over that job. What do you think, Steve? Tell us about Ferguson and who else was under consideration, if anyone.
Well, no, this is where I was kind of flipping the coin on either him or Howard. I did give some consideration to DeAndre Washington, but the thing that really sold me on Josh Ferguson was, one, the ladder to the top wasn't too tough, and he's another one of those guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield, and I don't think that Howard's going to have that kind of skill set. I mean, they'll still throw him the ball, but I think Ferguson's more of a all-around weapon, which gives him, you know, a better chance of being on the field on third down. So, again, I can't believe he was there, and I snatched him up without a hesitation.
And the word snatch, another reason why this podcast is PG-13, everyone. Kids are hopefully in bed at this point. Tom, why don't you take it from here on Ferguson?
Like I said, probably wouldn't have been there if that trade would have went down with me and downhill from here, because he would have won a pick earlier. But definitely a guy I had my eye on as well for later rounds. It was him, then Mr. Wood of Small. So, I love the pick. Three picks in this round that Stoneform picked up this year in the third round that I see next year having some serious impact already.
Guys, just a couple minutes left, so let's fire through a couple of questions that I'm asking on every one of these. Third round, 3 to 5 years from now, what are the players that you think, one or two players from this third round that people are going to wish they had on their team? Steve, go right ahead.
Well, I have them. Any one of my three guys. but aside from those guys, obviously Carson Wentz, you know, he's going to develop into a solid starting quarterback, so it's always nice to have that guy on your team. And I think Jonathan Williams will probably be a guy that's going to be a solid contributor in Buffalo for over the next 3 to 5 years.
Tom, favorite players out of the third round?
My guy is the last pick, Josh Robinson, and I'd say that guy in Washington that you took there.
Keith Marshall.
Pick of the, yeah.
Keith Marshall. Okay. Guys, you're not supposed to say your own players, but I really love Jonathan Williams. I just think a lot of that guy. Malcolm Mitchell is another one. Guys you didn't like that much. Can I have one or two that you absolutely didn't like? Mine was Irvin. Steve, about 15
I would
seconds.
Go
ahead.
Yeah, go Irvin and probably Carew.
Mine's Irvin and is it Shaq Lawson in there still?
Yeah, Shaq Lawson also is someone you
this
can
will
run
happen. This will happen. They're both on the same team, so he at least got
well,
Carson Wentz.
Go ahead, 10 seconds each. Anything else you guys want to say about this particular draft, our third round?
I just wanted to ask Tom, do you regret not getting into the third round? I just want to know if Tom regretted not having any picks in the third round.
We'll find out by mid-year, if not by next year, if I shouldn't have gotten in that third round.
Well, guys, we're at the clock.
Do you at least wish?
That's going to do it for another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. Tom, you want to... One
right.
last word.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
hey,
I'm going to
steal
Robinson off, yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot to Steve Wellman of the Stone Forum Pallies, Tom Buckles of the Malicious Minds for joining me. Until next time, we will do another episode here to cap the fourth round, probably another one for the fifth round. Thanks for joining us on the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast.